Chapter 17. Nilame, Amreel, and I sat around the small table in the tavern tent with our heads close together as I explained the bones of my plan. The demon had goblins and those devil things with it last time, I said as I thought out loud and worked through the problem. So, we should assume it has more of them. If it doesn't, then at least we'll be overprepared. Ideally, we'll find wherever the demon's been hiding, and Nilame and I will use our rifles to thin out the number of minions. Then Nilame's soldiers and Amreela can clean up any goblins or whatever's left.
What about the shadow demon?
The dark-haired elf asked.
Your rifles are extraordinary, but they didn't seem to have much effect on the demon.
Actually, I had some friends make me special rounds. I smirked. And that's where the plan gets a little dicey. My friends were pretty confident that they'll work against the shadow demon, but they can't guarantee it.
Who are these friends of yours?
Nilame asked with a raised eyebrow. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't want me to tell anyone about them, I said, since they were called the Lost Tribe for a reason. But they're very smart, and they made bullets with magical properties for me. But even if the bullets don't work, I have a backup plan.
Which is?
The dark-haired elf asked. Do you remember the light I had on my head? I asked as I mimed my headlamp, and Nilame nodded. Well, I have two more of those with me. You and Amreela will each have one, so if my new magic bullets don't work, we can shine a light on the demon. It might just disappear like before, but if it doesn't, then we'll have to come up with another plan. Still, I'm hoping the light weakens the rotting fucker.
If the lights do weaken the lesser demon,
Amreela added as she sipped her wine,
we might be able to kill it with swords. Mine seemed to have some effect on it the first time we fought it.
That's true, I nodded as I thought back, and then I turned back to the Dolrath princess. So, what do you say, Nilame?
It's a pretty crazy plan,
she replied after a small pause, and a faint smile tugged at her dark blue lips.
But I think that's what I like about it. I'm in.
Perfect, I grinned. I think the sooner we do this, the better. I don't want anyone else to get hurt.
Agreed.
Nilame nodded.
Wait for me outside of the encampment. I'll gather my men and some supplies, and we'll be out of here before my mother realizes anything has happened.
With everything decided, Amreel and I said farewell to the chief's daughter and headed out of the city to wait.
Do you think your plan will work?
The Zinkari woman asked as we sat on a small boulder a short distance away from the tent city. I'm pretty confident, I said. Becklin seemed to really believe the bullets would work. But even if they don't, or only kinda work, we have a plan for that too.
Here's hoping those dwarves knew what they were talking about.
The horned woman snorted. I smiled at my partner, and then the sound of jingling footsteps came from up the road. Amreel and I stood and saw Nilame walking toward us with six Dolrath soldiers behind her, three of which had longbows slung over their shoulders.
These are all my personal soldiers,
the dark-haired woman said as she gestured to her companions.
I'd trust any of them with my life.
That's intense, I nodded, but I'm glad to meet you all. The six soldiers each shook hands with Amreel and me and introduced themselves. Dasidva, Umens, and Nathok were the three archers, and Azrael and Anvara were both sword fighters. Lastly, Irlak had a huge poleaxe strapped to his back and was one of the biggest night elves I'd ever seen. Glad he was on our side. I'm not from around here. I started as I looked around at the warriors. Where should we start this search?
The lesser demons tend to live in swamps in the Twilight region.
Amreela chimed in.
It's fairly safe to assume it'll stay near water.
All of the attacks have been along the river,
the chief's daughter confirmed. Can you draw me a map in the dirt here? I asked the night elf captain. Nilame smoothed a patch of dirt with her foot, and then crouched down and started to draw with her finger.
This is the river,
the dark-haired woman said as she drew a long, snaking outline.
And this is the encampment.
The blue-eyed elf placed a small stone next to the river, and then started to draw three little circles in the dirt.
Here, here, and here are where the most recent attacks have occurred,
Nilame concluded. I crouched down and looked at the basic map for a moment, but the only obvious connection was that they happened near the water. What about the older attacks? I asked with my eyebrows knitted together.
They happened here and here.
Nilame drew two more circles. The other two circles were also near the river, but they were closer to where Amreela and I had found the gnome harvesters and the dead Dolrath soldiers. Then, I got an idea. If we don't include the attack by the Eastern Lake, I thought out loud, then the rest of the attacks are concentrated in this area between the Western Lake and the encampment. So I think we should start looking in the center of this area. I took my finger and drew a line between each of the circles clustered together, and then I found a little pebble and set it in the middle of the square.
That's very clever, Eddie.
Emrila purred, and her black eyes were hooded when she winked one at me.
I love it when you're clever.
Thanks, I grinned. I've watched a lot of procedural dramas.
What?
Nyla May asked with a clear look of confusion on her face. Never mind. I shook my head. This gives us a place to start with. I took a moment to explain my plan to the soldiers, but I added that once Nyla May had fired the first round on any goblins or devils, that might be with the demon, the archers should try to pick off as many stragglers as they can before the others go in with their swords or big-ass poleaxes. But it's very important you don't get in between me and the demon, I said as I looked around at the warriors. Just like I wouldn't walk in front of the archers. I might not see you in time, or I could lose my shot on the shadowy fucker. Once we have eyes on the demon, your jobs will be to keep any of its minions that might be left out of the way so I can kill the fiend. The group were all professional fighters, so they all nodded silently in response, and I didn't have to explain anything twice. Then we set off west along the road, which followed the river more or less, and we kept our eyes on the lookout for any signs of the demon. Along the way, I gave Nyla May another lesson in how the AK worked, and I also showed her the Galil and pointed out the small differences between our rifles. I even gave the dark-haired elf 2 spare magazines of mundane rounds, but I made sure to also load a separate mag with some of the magical rounds Becklin had given to me.
This is where we need to leave the road,
Nyla May said as she pointed south of the path. I looked around at the rocks and boulders off the side of the road and ruefully thought about the pit worm Amrila and I'd come across earlier. Okay, I said with a deep breath. Everyone try to keep the plan in mind. The goal is for everyone to go home to their loved ones when we're done.
Also,
Nyla May added as she looked at her men,
the ones of you who weren't at the lake should know these weapons Eddie and I have are louder than you can imagine. Rip some cloth from the edge of your cloaks and stuff it in your ears to dampen the sound.
There was the sound of ripping as the soldiers obeyed their captain, and the soldiers tucked their torn pieces of cloth into a convenient crevice in their armor, or under their collars until they needed it. Then our hunting party crept through the southwestern reaches of the Dolrath Cavern. Amrila and Umence, one of the archers, were the most light-footed of us, so they scouted ahead. But I was sure to keep Amrila in my line of sight. I felt a responsibility for Nyla May and the soldiers, but the Zinkari woman was my partner, and I wasn't about to let anything happen to her. The 9 of us scoured the area, and finally deep into the southern portion of the cavern, the horned woman and the other scouts stopped behind a massive stalagmite at the top of a low rise. I watched Amrila crouch down, and then she turned and signaled with her hand that they'd found something.
Stay here,
Nyla May said to her soldiers in a low voice.
Eddie and I will see what the scouts have found and signal if we need you.
Then the chief's daughter nodded to me, and the two of us quietly climbed the rise together. At the top, I made sure to stay low as I came up next to Amrila. The horned woman pointed over the rise when I reached her, and I saw a milling group of goblins outside of a cave-like opening that rose out of the cavern floor. There were at least 20 of them, and they were about 200 yards away from the rise. I looked around for rockfalls or boulders between us and them that we could use to advance our position once the fighting started. There were a few closer to our hiding spot and around the mouth of the cave, but the beasts had been smart enough to stand with a mostly clear field around them. I ducked down behind the stalagmite and set my backpack on the ground to get out my binoculars. How far can your archers shoot? I whispered to Nyla May. The dark-haired elf looked over the rise briefly and then lowered her head again.
They might be able to hit a few of the closest goblins,
the Dolrath captain replied.
But the ones not taken out in the first wave might retreat or take cover, so we would have to advance.
I nodded, pulled my binoculars out, and peeked over the rise again. Now I could see a few of the devils, which had blended into the terrain before. These ones were a grayish-brown, but they were as long-limbed and as bony as the ones back at the lake. Okay, I said, and I forced myself to keep my breathing steady and regular. It looks like there's about 2 dozen goblins and at least 4 of the devils outside of the cave, but we should assume there's more inside. I lowered myself back down and looked at the fierce warriors around me. All of them were looking at me and waiting for my word to act, and it was a heady feeling. The adrenaline was already pumping through me, and I felt a strange clarity despite the pressure of the situation. Our rifles can shoot with reasonable accuracy for about 100 yards. I continued as I met Nilame's blue eyes. So you and I will fire simultaneously with the archers. The sound will probably disorient the bastards for a moment, so hopefully we'll be able to take down a good number in the first wave. Then, once we empty our first magazines, we'll have the archers go down the other side of the rise. That way they can get closer to the goblins and shoot another volley of arrows before the monsters can fully retreat, and you and I will lay down cover fire if necessary. Nilame turned toward the soldiers waiting behind us and made some gestures that I assumed were silent orders they were all familiar with.
After that, the plan is the same, yes?
The blue-eyed woman asked as she turned back to me. Yep, I said, as long as nothing too wild happens, but we should all try to keep an eye on each other without clumping up. The noise from the rifles will make it hard to talk to one another, and you all need to put cloth or something in your ears to protect them, especially you, since you'll be shooting the AK. The other soldiers came up the rise on silent feet, and the archers readied their bows. And then, it was time. Amrila and I put on our headphones while the Dolrath carefully rolled their bits of cloth and worked them into their long ears. Let's do this. I took a deep breath as I pulled up my galil to my shoulder. Nilame watched me and mimicked my movements, so I racked the slide, used the top of the rise to steady my shot, and put my finger on the trigger. Then I put my red dot sight on an asshole and took another breath before I squeezed the trigger. 100 yards or so away, the first goblin fell dead as the sound of rifle fire filled the cavern, and the small green army briefly fell into chaos as Nilame, the archers, and I kept firing. Not every round or arrow hit, of course, and there were occasional puffs of dust by the cave mouth where a stray bullet struck the rocky walls. But for the most part, I was able to make the most of each shot, and Nilame had a surprising amount of luck for her first time shooting. The archers also got a couple of unlucky bastards. But then, there was a click as my magazine ran out, and a millisecond later, Nilame was out too. The goblins and devils rallied as the rain of bullets and arrows stopped, and more monsters poured from the mouth of the cave like a flooding river. Still, the bastards weren't entirely stupid, and they stuck close to the few rocks and boulders near the cave mouth. I wasn't about to let them hide. Forward! I shouted at the top of my lungs to the archers, and I stood, stepped to the side, and dropped the magazine into my hand in one motion. The Night Elf archers jumped up and ran forward down the rise, but they didn't have to run more than 50 yards until the wave of goblins and devils from the cave came into range of their arrows. The archers fired arrow after arrow at the enemies, slowly dwindling numbers, and then the dark-haired captain and I loaded fresh magazines and laid down the occasional cover fire, while the Night Elf archers operated like arrow-slinging machines. More goblins and devils fell into the expanse between the cave, and the rise was littered with bodies, but the remaining dozen goblins and 8 of the devil things started to retreat closer to the cave. Then I saw a dark movement at the mouth of the cave, like a living, black smoke roiling in the protective shadows. The shadow demon was apparently watching us decimate its army from its lair, so I decided why not give the bastard a show. It was time to move forward and end this. My heart hammered against my chest as I raised my hand and motioned for the remaining warriors and Amrila behind me to cross the rise and attack, and I could hear the Zinkari woman's war cry. Then Nilame and I ran down the rise and came up behind the archers who were taking aim again. We stopped just in front of the 3 archers, and I put my galil to my shoulder and aimed at one of the devils that had found some courage during the lack of fire and was now running towards us, screaming like a banshee. Shut up! I grunted before I pulled the trigger, and I watched as the bullet blew a hole in the chest of the bone-thin monster. Blood and chunks of flesh flew through the air as the devil's pace slowed, and it collapsed moments later, like a machine slowly running out of gas. Then the archers released their arrows while Nilame fired her AK, and more goblins fell in succession. This was fucking awesome! Some of the remaining goblins were close enough for me to see their terrified faces as they watched their companions fall to the ground. One green fucker in half-rotted leather armor skidded to a halt, broke, and ran back in the opposite direction. And as if taking an unspoken cue, The other goblins also turned and tried to retreat back toward the cave in zigzag patterns to make themselves more difficult targets. The remaining devils hissed at the goblins as they passed, but the devils kept advancing and were almost on top of us. I aimed the Galil right at the face of one of the devils that was only 3 feet in front of me and the archer at my feet, and when I pulled the trigger, the gibbering beast's head exploded just as an arrow seemed to sprout from its chest. The devil fell backward, and I looked down at the archer. Nathok, who glanced up at me and shrugged with a grin. Then the other 3 Dolrath warriors came up from behind and engaged with the remaining devils while we allowed the archers to fall back and draw their swords for close-up combat. Irlak used his poleaxe to hold back the last 3 devils with a sweep, while Ezreal and Anvara flanked the beasts and cut them to ribbons with the swords. I would have loved to stop and watch the Dolrath apply their craft, but as Amrila came up beside me, I nodded to her and Nylame. It was time to enact the final part of our plan. The 3 of us ran toward the cave just behind the retreating goblins, and I dropped my magazine and reached for the one with Becklin's bullets. I'd only have 12 shots, so I had to make sure to make him count, because there wasn't much room for error. I snapped the new magazine into place, chambered a bullet, and turned my focus to the horror waiting in the cave. Amrila had both her swords already drawn and was making her way to the goblins like a golden retriever after its favorite ball. Nylame also had her sword drawn, with the AK slung on her back, so I guessed that she'd used her second magazine up already. The 3 of us started to close the gap between us and the cowardly goblins, but then the shadow in the cave mouth began to stir and pour itself out into the open. The black mass churned and moved in an unnatural way, but then the shadow split down the center, like the parting of the Red Sea, and revealed the rotting being of festering flesh and bones underneath briefly. The demon screamed, and its voice rumbled the ground of the cavern, which caused the 6 goblins to stop, turn on their heels, and run back toward us. I didn't even think about it as I skidded to a halt, raised the Galil ace to my shoulder, and then fired at the shadow demon while its fuggly face was exposed. The magic bullet sailed the 150 yards over the heads of the short goblins. The bullet left a momentary afterglow, like a glittering magical tracer behind it, before it caught the fuckhead lesser demon in the shoulder. Grayish-green flesh and bits of bone fragments flew, and the monster stopped its horrific scream and grabbed the wounded shoulder before the shadow swallowed the demon up again. Fuck yeah! The bullets worked. But there was still a raving throng of goblins to get through, so I clicked on my headlamp and put on a burst of speed. Amrila and Nylame had also seen the demon react to the bullet, so they pushed forward with me and started to clear the fear-crazed goblins out of my path.
Hya!
The Zinkari woman jumped in the air, turned slightly, and brought one of her blades down on the closest goblin, which cut the thing in half. Meanwhile, Nylame took her long sword in both hands and delivered a heavy blow that sent another goblin's head sailing through the air. But there were 4 more of the little green bastards between us and the cave, so I pushed back the Galil on its shoulder strap and pulled my Glock, because I didn't want to waste the special bullets on fucking goblins. But maybe I spoke too soon, since it didn't seem like the woman needed my help. Amrila had goblins directly in front of her. One wielded a wicked-looking curved dagger, while the other held a short spear. The one with the spear thrust his weapon at the horned woman, but she turned, arched her back to avoid the leaf-shaped blade, and brought one of her swords down on its shaft with a deadly swing. The spear's shaft splintered and broke, and then the red-skinned woman used her momentum to bring her other sword around to slice through the goblin's neck. The other goblin tried to slash the back of the Zinkari's knee while she was distracted, but Amrila kicked out at the second fucker and caught him in the face with her leather boot. The goblin gurgled as he fell, and the side of his face was covered in black and purple contusions. Meanwhile, on the other side of me, Nylame parried a thrust from a lanky goblin's rust-pitted sword and knocked the skinny prick's sword out of his hands. Then the dark-haired woman ran the goblin through and lifted his long, limbed body off the ground before it slid from the blade. All this action swirled around me, and my peripheral awareness took it all in. Then my adrenaline-fueled, hyper-focused gaze landed on the last of the goblins as he tried to turn tail and run, and I fired the Glock point-blank at his retreating back. I could hear the sounds of the battle behind me, but I didn't want to take my eyes off the shadow demon now that I was so close to finishing it off. I holstered the Glock and pulled up the Galil again. But then the black cloud of shadow started to whirl like a cyclone. It kicked up dirt that stung at the exposed skin of my face, and the wind it created started to tug at my jacket. Then I stopped and watched in horror as the whirlwind of dust and dirt from the cave floor started to form shapes around the living shadow. The demon was somehow creating malformed creatures from the dirt, and Amrila, Nylame, and the rest of the blood-stained Dolrath standing around me stared with shocked expressions at the terrifying scene before us. I knew I needed to do something before whatever the fuck the demon was doing was complete, so I took a deep breath, gathered my courage, and lunged into the whirlwind. Fuck! I grunted and spat out sand as I squinted through the cyclone. Ah, shit! I dove to the side and dodged the half-formed monsters, and I tried to push against the wind and get close enough for my headlamp to illuminate the shadow demon, so I could shoot it in its ugly fucking face. As I turned and narrowly avoided one of the swirling bodies, I realized getting to the demon in the dust storm would be almost impossible. The wind was growing stronger, and I had to lean against it to stop from being pushed back. I didn't want to waste my bullets firing into the illusion of shadow blindly, but I would have to chance it now. I fired into the shadow 3 times before I heard the screech of the lesser demon, and the wind slowed noticeably. Then I fired the Galil 2 more times while trying to hit the same spot, and the Pro X headphones blocked the sound of the rifle fire and wind each time. Suddenly, the dust storm stopped as the shadow launched itself at me. Ah! I was knocked off my feet, but I tucked and rolled and regained my feet in one motion. When I popped back up, I saw through the film of falling dust that the strange creatures the demon had summoned were now attacking Amrila and the Dolrath. The minions' bodies were lumpy and lopsided, with limbs that didn't seem to match. Some had long-fingered hands that ended in claws, while others had stump-like appendages. Others possessed both. I couldn't see anything in great detail because of the haze of dirt, but I searched frantically for the shadow demon in all the chaos. As I turned to look behind me, one of the dirt monsters suddenly appeared out of nowhere and swung its clubbed arm at my head. The creature's blow caught me in the side of my skull and knocked the headlamp off, but I recovered quickly, ducked the dust creature's second blow, and slipped the strap of my Galil off my shoulder. When I came back, I was able to see the face of the dirt monster, and my blood ran cold. There were no eyes, only black sockets where eyes should be, and the mouth was slack and filled with sharp little rocks in place of teeth. Eat this, ugly! I raised the butt of my Galil and smashed it into the partly formed face as hard as I could. What I hit was solid, so I raised the rifle and smashed it down again. The monster burst into a flurry of dirt and debris, which only added to the haze. There was no light on the ground for my headlamp, and I realized it must have been broken. Shit. I coughed and sputtered as I turned to look for the shadow demon again. Several yards away, I could vaguely see 2 of the Dolrath fighting the dirt creatures. Because of the debris in the air, all I could tell about one was the outline of the beetle shell armor, but one of them wielded a poleaxe, and I knew that was Urlak. One of the monsters burst into dust as the huge warrior slashed his blade through its trunk, but then the other beast reached out with clawed hands and thrust its long fingers through Urlak's eyes. The burly warrior stiffened, dropped to his knees, and then fell over as the other Dolrath ran their sword through the monster until it burst into a torrent of dirt and pebbles. I moved to help Urlak even though I knew the man was likely dead, but then Amrila came into sight through the dust haze and grabbed my arm.
We have to end this!
The horned woman screamed over the sound of the wind. I could see she had only 1 sword drawn and the flashlight I'd given her in the other hand.
You're right!
I yelled back.
Stay close to me!
The Zinkari woman turned on the flashlight, and we stalked through the haze as we hunted the shadow demon. We could see the Dolrath fighting the dust monsters in the haze, but before we could reach any to help them, the beam of Amrila's flashlight fell across a tendril of shadow that shrank away from the light. The beautiful horned woman and I turned as one, and we were faced with the demon, which seemed to have been stalking us through the haze. The shadows that had been about to wrap around me were pushed back by the light Amrila shone on it, and the skull-like face was only a few feet away from mine. The demon screamed and clawed at my chest, as if to disembowel me like it had done with the gnomes by the lake, but instead of spilling my guts onto the ground, the claws sparked against my breastplate.
Better luck next time!
I snarled as I wrestled my rifle up. What flesh there was on the demon's face started to smolder and burn in the light as I raised my rifle, and then I pumped round after round into the bastard's chest before it could disappear. Soon, I could see the effects of the bullets up close. Rotted skin and bone fragments flew as light and white flames sprung from the wounds. The flames grew brighter with each bullet, and as I felt the click of my last round emptying into the lesser demon, the whole of its head and torso were consumed in blinding flames.
Watch out!
I took Amrila by the arm and pulled her away as the demon writhed and its shroud of shadows slowly fell away. We watched as its rib cage collapsed and the body crumpled inward until it was a pile of bones and dust on the ground. The skull hung in the air with a spectral, lipless grin for a heart-stopping moment, but then it too fell and hit the pile of bones with a clatter. As the final scream of the shadow demon echoed through the cave, the dirt creatures also burst like confetti or fireworks on the 4th of July, and I sighed in relief as I waited for the dust to settle.